Welcome to Virginia's Young Farmers Podcast. I'm Morgan Slavin.
And I'm Ashley Keeler.
And we're a couple advocates who are passionate about cultivating conversations about agriculture and rural issues. Whether you're a generational farmer like me or a farming hopeful like Ashley, we're just happy to have you here as part of our community. All right, everybody, we are down in God's country today. And that's really something for me saying it, because I always say that Shenandoah Valley is God's country.
Yeah, well, I say God's country every podcast. So Morgan's saying it this time. It's real.
It's for real. I'm going to post a picture of walking down the driveway here at Point Pleasant Angus. They've got a cattle sale going on today, and it's about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the fog's kind of coming up, and we can hear these bulls just showing off.
Yeah, if you hear something that sounds like a ghost, like, ooh, it's a cow. Yeah. It's cattle out there.
Oh, man. But the reason why we're in Bland County today is because we have an awesome opportunity to talk with a few folks that are actually from out of state. I know we normally host folks that are here within Virginia. Our Young Farmers Squad is always who we normally host. But we had a really unique opportunity to talk to some folks that can give us some insight, especially in kind of like the consulting, marketing realm that I think is going to be really good advice. So the first one up today, we're probably going to end up doing like a two-part episode on this. But today we've got Chris Earle from CK6 Consulting with us, all the way from New Mexico. Chris, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, absolutely. It's what I do. I get on the road. So yeah, but you're right about the valley. It's beautiful this morning.
So. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's wonderful. And I know you all are listening from wherever you are, but I just want to say Chris has a awesome cowboy hat that he was not able to wear because of the headphones. So when you just hear him talk, just imagine this New Mexico guy in a cowboy hat. Okay, like he's cooler than he sounds on here because he's not wearing the hat. So just wanted to say that.
Well, I was going to say the accent.
You're a sweetheart. I appreciate it.
I know it's going to be a nice little mix up because we've got a new accent on here. Normally we've got the kind of Western Virginia Valley accent, and today we've got
new accent, same cackles, right, Morgan?
No, listen to my laugh. Just haunts me every time I edit. But anyway, so Chris, let's get into it. You've got a cattle sale here to work today, but tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you come from, and how you got into the consulting business.
Sure. My name's Chris Earle. I got a great wife, Krista Earle, and we're Illinois people. So we have six kids, six grandkids, and it's really our total focus in life, to be frank. I mean, about 9 years ago, we decided to move to New Mexico. That's when, I really had a pull. My grandpa had a ranch in southern Arizona. It's got a real pull for the Southwest. And, when we bought the ranch, I found out I must really like challenges because it's been a challenge, but it's been a great challenge. I mean, it gets me up in the morning, like I tell many people. And every day, you walk out the door with a plan and it changes 10 times by the time you're done with the day. So we've got two sons that run our ranch out there, Trent and Garrett, and, we're blessed to have them. And then in 2009, I worked for a place called Sunny Valley Farm. We had a ranch in Colorado, a ranch in Wyoming, big farm in Illinois. That kind of came to an end. So through that process, I really learned that one of the vital components of our business is people, not just genetics. And, I really enjoyed visiting with the customers of Sunny Valley on a really 365-day-a-year process, and very open to taking calls, very open to advice, and learned a lot through that whole process because I was making mistakes every day and still do. But I became, I became very aware of the challenges and what it takes to make a living in this business. So in 2009, I decided to start a consulting company, and CK6 is Chris and Krista Earle and six kids. And, that's really our family, helping families. That's really how we took our approach. And that is, when you as a person decide to go all in on this stuff, your wife does too. Mm-hmm. And she did. And she was city gal from Peoria, and last place she thought she would be, she was going to have a nice career and marry about 30 and probably have the 2.5 kids. And, she wound up marrying at 21 and had six kids by the time she was 28, smelling cattle manure every day of her life. And now I got her stuffed in nowhere, New Mexico, and, she is a trooper.
I feel like the, not stereotyping here, but I've heard it over and over again, so it's true. Like, I feel like the women who come from non-farm backgrounds and get into it, like, blossom. Like, whatever skills you have, it's like you don't know what why you're in certain jobs before, or why you're going through certain experiences before. And then later in life, you're like, that's why I learned those things, because I'm meant to influence the land here. I'm meant to influence the community here. And it's just like completely changes who you are in the best way possible. It sounds like for your family too, like it just completely different route, but it's what you all needed and how you all are growing, and you love it.
There's no question. I mean, it's really, for me, it's God's plan. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know that God created us to have a static life, to where you look and you know where you're going to be in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to her. Maybe not so much for me. I mean, a lot of these things that I wanted to do and dreamed about are happening. But the biggest dream that came through was I didn't want to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And that was her. So the fact that you have that support level on a daily basis in agriculture, and that you create life with, that also expands into what you're doing, it's not unique. It may be becoming unique in America today, but it's not unique for what God's plan is. Mm-hmm. And that is, you wind up really working and doing all this in support of what you've created, and that keeps you going.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the issues that, you know, we had a nice talk this morning is, you know, when you do this stuff, and it's part of consulting too, when you do this stuff for other people, it's much more motivating than to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the great things what we do. But it would not happen without Krista Earle. Wouldn't happen. Because mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about things at home. I don't have to worry about, you know, she keeps in touch with all the kids, does all the basic stuff that has to happen. And she signed on for this. And that's huge. So
what you're talking about reminds me of working hard. And like kind of the state of where we are now is like, the younger generation is being stereotyped with not wanting to work hard. And I heard something else recently. It's like, it's because we're always wanting to do it for ourselves. That's why we're not satisfied. Right. We're like, I want this job. I want this salary. I want to learn these skills. Why am I not getting promotions? Like, I don't like working. But when you think about the people you're doing it for and the people who are working for you, if you're in a management position, then it changes because you're trying to make your community better, other people's lives better. So your perspective on my working hard is influencing other people. And it sounds like you've had a lot of experiences managing different farms and different companies, and maybe not all of them have been super successful, and then some of them have been. So before we get more into the meat of the consulting business and some tips on that, it's like, how have you navigated through, sounds like a lot with Krista, but like, have you navigated through the ebb and flow of, am I supposed to be where I'm supposed to be? If this stuff's not going well, how do I know to cut it off and move on?
Well, I'm not a quitter. I mean, that's one thing that's really was instilled in me early. And one thing, when you become, I hope I am, a faithful person, and you really realize the majesty of God, you don't want to cap people on what they can be. And that's what I really try hard on. What I try hard is to be a witness to, you know, if I can do and develop all these things, hopefully I'm a witness to what you can do too. And that's really what, you know, I often tell people, really what part of consulting is, you really try and help protect people from themselves. And one of that point is most people want to limit themselves. There's a comfort level in not having to go into those areas that are uncomfortable. But that's really what the Lord wants us to do. He wants you to have the utmost confidence in yourself and Him in order that you achieve these things that hopefully you can achieve. I'm a capitalist. I mean, I love capitalism. But the part of capitalism that I love the most is that you can go and achieve great things, acquire wealth, acquire these things in order that you can put it back into other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that is part of what we've lost. You know, a lot of rural America has assumed a role that maybe we should just get what we get and be happy. Mm-hmm. Well, how about we get what we deserve, what we've created, and then maybe we help that 22 to 24 year old young man that can't afford his piece of ground or what's, maybe we help them. Mm-hmm. Maybe we acquire in order to help other people. Mm-hmm. That's the rural America I was brought up in. That's mm-hmm. what it reads like in the Bible. Those things are important to me.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we're doing here today.
Yeah.
One thing we're doing here today is to help a family that you can see all the generations running around is how can we make the Angus business viable to where they can create another generation that gets to enjoy the, you know, the majesty of what God's created in this valley. Angus genetics that go out that are desired across the country, mm-hmm. and they can have a nice, productive, meaningful life that has no cap, mm-hmm. that has nobody saying this is all you can be.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for me, you know.
You know, Chris, I'm starting to hear a trend in some things you're saying here. Before we started hitting the record button, you talked, I think I heard you say the word mentorship. You know, your consulting motto is family helping families. And then you're using a lot of language here that talks about your consulting business is more than just a dollar transaction. It sounds like there's a lot of heart and soul behind what you do. You want to dive into that a little bit further?
Yeah. I mean, ever since I can remember, you know, it feels like on a regular basis, I listen, you know, because I get a lot of road time. So I'm alone a lot. Well, you're never really alone. You know, the Holy Spirit's kind of always talking in your ear. And to the point to where what I hear is, what's life about? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing? Are you afraid? You know, these kind of things, and I want to be able to answer. And I fail on it. But a lot of times I don't. And one of the places where I don't is, you know, I think the good Lord has given me the perspective of what's going to become important if I'm laying there on my deathbed and I got 5 minutes to think about what have I done here? What did I do? What's going to be important? We sold a bull for $900,000. We'll sell females high today. We've done a lot of these things in business that are, you know, haven't been done before. I don't think any of that's going to matter to me. Mm-hmm. I think the people that I've come across and did I witness to them of what's important in life through my business. I really struggled with this 12, 13 years ago. I had the model, service, make money, this is what you do, you get paid for it. That was not good enough for me. I couldn't turn off my personal view of why I exist in business. I wanted my personal life to be the same as my business life. So I just decided, I told my wife one day, I'm just going to do it. I'm just not going to change who I am. And if we lose business, if we got to go do something else, then that's what's going to happen. And it's been the opposite.
Wow.
There's a lot of people out there that I think look at life that way.
I mean, when you take us to church, right? We're at church right now. when you give, you multiply. It just multiplies, right? Like,
no question.
I think hopefully you've gotten to see some of that over the years of how you've given to others, and hopefully they are choosing to give. Because they're like, that they gave to me. I know I've done that. I've had so many mentors because where my family or personal situation didn't show up for me, other people did because they had that give mentality and because they had faith and hope and like a spiritual presence, right? Like they think about who they want to be. And I think that's I love hearing you say that because we don't like saying you, that wasn't your mentality always, but then you have that situation where you flip the switch of like, this isn't about me and I'm still not fulfilled.
Yep.
Like this is not fulfilling me. And like, even though you've had like those successes, like when you just set a bull for $900,000, like what? Like, I have no concept of livestock. Like I worked for a chicken company. I have some chickens,
right.
Small things. It's a dang chicken. Right.
Right.
That's crazy. That's awesome. And it's like, that's so successful. And then you're like, you did that. And it's like, well, now what?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now what? And so I think that consulting business, that is the ultimate giving because you're giving a skill to someone. You're like, what is my purpose? What am I meant to do? It's like, well, the day I die, like, how can I give back? It's like, well, this is my skill. You don't have to force yourself into learning something. You are like, this is not what I'm naturally good at, right?
Right.
Like, find that support in a relationship, a spouse, a family member. But it sounds like you've really found the meat of your consulting business is like, I'm giving back. This is what I feel my purpose is. And, was it they say growth without reflection is not really growth.
Right.
So you like, I feel like my life's in the fast lane and I don't take enough time to sit down and be by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just think about, I mean, my baby's not talking now. I guess I could just like talk to her, you know, like she's, so I'm not talking to a wall or whatever.
Right.
But I think that is so important. You know, we talk about young farmers in general, you've got your to-do list that keeps growing and you're like short-term goals, long-term goals, you're figuring out how to get there. And it's like, it's so easy to get in the fast lane and just stop and remember why you want to do something and reevaluate your why.
Yep.
So I love hearing you say all this because it makes me feel better. I'm already putting the pressure on myself as a 25-year-old of like, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. And it's so good to just hear people who are still figuring out and reflecting on the good things, like brag about yourself, give yourself credit, right? But also like, what's my why? Why am I doing this? That's awesome.
So we call it sincerity of purpose, right? Because, you know, in consulting, you have to have tough discussions with good people. Mm. And it's about, a lot of it's about business. A lot of it's about your approach. A lot of it's very, turns out to be self-reflective on what they've done to this point. And, you know, I do it on my own ranch. There's things I don't do right. There's things I don't do that work. There's things that I do that takes away from other people's ability. If you don't have an ability to reflect on those and make decisions against them, this business can be very tough. So consulting, you know, Wes my, and I, my partner, we really try and stay focused on our sincerity of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when you have these discussions, do these people really feel like you're with them? And you have to do things monetarily. You have to do things effort-wise. You have to do things in results to prove to them that you're with them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they know that, then you can have these discussions.
Yeah.
You know, if I was just performing a service, and I was getting paid for that service, and I come in and I say, you need to do this. Human nature is going to, they're not going to take that well, right? And I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that says, well, Chris, what do you think? I said, you know what? I think if we did these things, we will align ourselves or position ourselves to have great results. Will they come or not? I'm not sure. But if you're willing to go, I'm willing to go.
Yeah.
And because look, at the end of the day in consulting, if I don't have results, if I don't do a good job for people, then my business goes away.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I've got a lot of people in my business right now. We're in Mana Be Up Next. We've got a lot of people. They got young kids. They've got all these things, right? That I want to create a pathway through all this that they can support their family and do these things. And so, you know, internally, I'm not one of these guys that looking for somebody new. We've never advertised our business for sale, our service. We've never have. This has all become all created by word of mouth, by people that call, that inquire, you know, and then we decide, and I'm one of these guys that doesn't, you know, I want to be part of a great result. So there's a lot of people that have called that I just didn't think was a good fit.
Yeah.
Or they didn't think was a good fit once they talked to me. That is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think we need more of that, you know, I think we need more of that in agriculture because to be self-reflective on your own business, to know that, you know, you're desirable or not, mm-hmm. I think is huge. Mm-hmm. I think it's huge.
Well, and I think it's easy, no pun intended here, to get into your own silo, the silo effect. I know, I just did that just for laughs, for the jokes. But in all seriousness, I mean, I feel like as a young farmer getting started, Ashley probably feels this way a little bit. I think there's a lot of people that feel like you're in a survival type of mode in the beginning. And even the smallest ounce of, even if it's constructive criticism, can feel really overwhelming sometimes. And I was sharing with you guys offline that I just had a little dinger on my lamb yeah. program here. And that was like, Amanda said it best, is like livestock can be a humbling the industry to be in. And I'm like, yes, and I only have 10 little ewes right now, and they showed me. But, you know, as we're talking about that, and it sounds like you've worked with a lot of young producers, as you're thinking back, do you have any common pitfalls, I guess, that you are helping maybe specifically young producers, or maybe it's any producers, some common themes that you see of people when it comes to marketing their livestock or within the consultant business in general?
Well, there's no question. I mean, you call it a silo. I call it a cocoon, you know, and I think the where you're on your same place, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't really have an overall view or view of how really big this business is. And it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And I think the number one thing that I come across that people struggle with, everyone's good at making hay. Mm-hmm. Everyone's good at buying equipment. Everyone can identify the land. Everybody can do all that stuff. You know, everyone can go find the great cow or find the good cow. How are you going to get paid? That's where everyone, that's one of those areas that we talked about before where people don't want to venture into, haven't thought about it. It's uncomfortable. Because what if you've done all this and you've built it and people don't come?
Yeah.
very self-reflective. You know, pride is a deadly sin. I struggle with it all the time. The inability to look and correct what maybe not be working, or the inability to look and say, okay, maybe I need to change how I look at this, can be hugely detrimental to this. And I'll just say this, maybe a little political, maybe not. Many land-grant universities, as I've looked over the years, have created young people that are 23 years old that come into this business, and you would think they've been in it for 20 years with their opinions. Their opinions might have no factual basis, no effort, no achievement, no nothing, but they've got them. Rather than creating the young man or young woman that can fix fence, AI a cow, do all the stuff that you need to get done as a functional part of your business in order to grow and experience those things and then have an opinion about the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a lot of people that I deal with, young people I deal with, that are telling me about the business. And I know when I got into business, I shut my mouth for 3 years and I listened.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I did. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's a function really of more so the way universities approach youth rather than how what the market needs right now from youth. There's no question we need a ton of young people in this business. Mm-hmm. We're just not getting them because physical labor has been denigrated to the point that young people don't think they need to do it. Mm-hmm. And you won't lose the physical part of the cattle business. You won't. It has to be done. Has to be done. So
it's funny because you saying that right now reminds me of something that my dad normally says. I was talking about somebody one day and I was like, well, you know, they seem to kind of know what they're doing. And dad's like, you ever seen them dirty? And I was like, actually, now that you say that, and he's like, if they say they're farming and you've never seen them dirty, then you might want to rethink that.
I'd like
that.
To meet your dad.
Yeah, he's quite the character. You have to go back
and
listen.
Offline. He's offline, but he wears the cutoff, right?
Yeah, he's from about April to October, he wears cutoff button-ups and just holy Levi's. And
I'd like to meet your dad. Yeah. I'm Ted right now.
Well, so. You'll have to go back and listen to our Father's Day episode because
it's really good.
It's,
and it's what you're saying about, you know, you go off to college thinking you're going to get what you need to come back to your community or go where you want to have the knowledge that you need. And I think I was kind of in that state of, I'm going to Virginia Tech, I'm going to study ag science, I'm going to be an ag teacher, and I'm going to farm one day. I did not take classes that were very good to set me up for that, but I was getting my degree, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anyone, and I didn't even know how to look for a mentor or think that I needed one in a production ag area that was going to help me have an experience outside of the classroom. Or different than, like, I think professors are in a lot of ways, if it's a great professor, like, they have networks that can help you get that experience. And I didn't even know to reach out to do that. And so my husband and I both left college, came home, and we're like, we don't know anything. We're like, we thought this was going to be the right thing that's going to help us learn and grow. And it's even making us think about how are we going to choose school and approach school, homeschool, private school, public school for our daughter to make sure that she's learning things outside of the computer and outside of the four walls of your classroom. And I know you said you have two sons that are helping run your ranch.
Yep.
I would be intimidated if my dad was in a consulting business. Yep. And I, you know, cause like you're good at consulting and like not convincing but guiding, and it's like you've guided your children back to the ranch.
Oh yeah,
which is a challenge. No these question. days. A lot of times financially it becomes a challenge, or maybe your family's big. I know Morgan's talked about this, like they know where their family's at with their generational farm, and her brother is going to be there for that. And so like how did you kind of open that door for your kids and for them to genuinely choose to come back?
Told them I needed them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at times, I know not at times, all the time, I'm the worst employee they have. One, because okay. I'm hardly ever there. And secondly, when I get there, I usually have an opinion. So what they're doing, their way of life for many years, you know, and I still do. I love work on the backside of the chute. I like to push cattle where I'm not making a decision, you know, and I've really thrust them into the leadership role. I kind of guide the vision, But they do the everyday. I'm not even in my consulting business, I'm not a micromanager by any means. I don't even micromanage myself very, very, very well. You know, so but I like to have around me hard workers. I like to have people that have a talent for people and genetics. And then I like them to have the fearlessness to use that talent. And I've told myself early, we're going to deal with the mistakes. Mm-hmm. One, because I still make them. Two is because it is my job to facilitate a business that endures those, because that's life. Life's about making mistakes and getting better. And so it's the same thing on the ranch. I have to let, you know, a doctor gave a 26-year-old young man that had, you know, four kids one time a shot. And that was me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went in there. It was an interesting deal. Dr. George Block, when he hired me, he asked me if I filled a resume out. I filled a resume out. I was working for him for 3 years, thought I was doing a great job, working hard, keeping my mouth shut, just doing what I had to do. And so I went into the meeting and he said, I'm going to hire you. He said, you know, I'm going to hire you. I said, cause I do you a good job. Nope. He said, I'm going to hire you because on your resume, you were the captain of your college football team chosen by the team. And he said, I'm going to give you the ball. And then after what he said to me really stuck with me, he says, either you're going to run for a touchdown and we're going to fumble, or you're going to fumble, but I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. And that really stuck with me. Yeah. That was a guy that put a faith in young man, knowing I didn't need to be perfect, but knowing he had a hard worker. And that's kind of the same way I approach my ranch. And, you know, if something goes wrong, but the effort was there, the intention was great, I got to deal with it. That's my role.
And you're hearing a dad and grandfather say this because I think a lot of times mistakes can be costly.
Sure.
And I think that's what's easy to think about when you think of mistakes, the costs. But the mindset that you've kind of flipped of like, we're learning, and that's the environment, the welcoming environment. We interviewed someone, Courtney, who talked about working with older generations and the challenge she's had and sometimes paving her own path. And then sometimes I just now saw another farmer who's in a generational farm, and he was able to go and pick out cows to put into the dairy, his first time doing yep. that. And so you start to see kind of the layers peel back where family starts to realize it's not too late, but it's pretty late in the game where they realize, oh, I've got to give ownership to the next generation yep. or I'm going to be trying to find somebody to run this shindig.
I think that's part of the hiring talent. So when you look at life, I think for me, you know, we're not in a static thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if you bring a talent in, and you have to have the flexibility to let their mind, let their effort bring you new possibilities. And I think that is life. I mean, life's is a mystery. Consulting's a mystery. Angus Genetics is a mystery. The key is, can you have people that have that fearlessness in order that you create not what's already been done? No one's more chosen a history than me, but a lot of the great history that you look at that you really think, man, that was awesome, was an inventive mind, you know, that worked hard, applied it, was fearless, and it worked for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's rural America in a nutshell. And I think we're really fighting. We got a lot of people above us that want to bring us into what you said is a silo. They want to make you part of their system, mm-hmm. rather than what America used to be, and I hope still is in a lot of part, was that ever-evolving, changing entrepreneurship that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And right now, we've become non-exciting. That's why young people, that's why I really like listening to you and both of you. You still look at this thing as exciting.
Yeah.
That is, it's a possibility for my family. That's getting lost, and we need to get it back. So
yeah, and through all the things, you're so knowledgeable. I'm just like oh man, I want to put my hand in the air when you're talking.
Amen.
And when people come to you all for consulting,
yep.
how long does that relationship last? Like, do they know how long they're coming to you for that guidance and help? Or is it kind of, how does that relationship work over time and build to help?
So I give them all the same line. Mm-hmm. I'm not a quitter. I said, if you're going to bring this thing to an end, it's going to be you. Because there's no challenge you can put in front of me that I just don't think is achievable. And so most people that have let me go, it's on them. It's was their decision. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I like I said in the beginning, I don't want to cap people. Mm-hmm. I think people have the ability to wake up on that day, change their life, and do things that are productive. And I'm all about being productive. I'm all about the result. And I don't want people to look at my consulting firm and be like, boy, that was a great decision to bring them in because that's they really helped them. No, I want to be that. I want to be that company that they looked at and said, you know, we're secondary to what the owner has decided that they want to do and become. You know, I tell people I want to be a small part of your success.
Yeah,
and that's good for my mind. That's good for my mindset. That's good for my soul. You know, I don't. I want to be the underdog at all times. Mm-hmm. So. And that keeps you going. That keeps you going. You know, when you find happiness is easy to find at times. It's fleeting, like we said in the beginning. Joy is a different deal. Yeah. When
Very
you find
true.
Joy,
Very true.
When yeah. you find joy, it's really when you watch other people have success because you had a small, small part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, love that. Well, you're part of something here today. So maybe let's talk a little specifics. What are y'all doing here for the Friedels today at Point Pleasant?
Well, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's, you know, I've been with them 7 years now. And these were people that, you know, when they look into business and really what they wanted to do, were having a tough time seeing their path forward. And, you know, so they called me in. We had a great, great meeting. And there was a lot of things that probably needed to change for the way the market was looking at seed stock business. You know, and that really came from, you know, youth was Jen and Brad. You know, they got really inserted into the program and really... you know, helped me communicate what they want to do and facilitate what was needed to be done for Larry and Gail. And that was great, you know, because youth is the energy. It's why I like talking to you. As I do a lot of mentoring. Our way of life needs youth. It needs the energy. I mean, I can feel that myself. I'm 56. You know, I can see, you know, at times you lose the energy to do what needs to be done. Youth can find that energy. Jen is unbelievable. I mean, she's, you know, just at it every day and wants to be great in this and wants her kids to raise up in it. She's got a fantastic husband in Kurt that is supportive, makes sure everything behind the scenes is done, works his butt off when he's here. And so we made some early decisions that genetically, I think, has moved a young program, a moderate-sized program, to the forefront of the business as quick as anything. Nice. And, you know, the access of some genetics that really desired across the country. The offering today, fantastic, both on bulls and females, really working hard on getting their bull program off the ground because it's a tough place to sell bulls in yeah. this part of the country. You know, a lot of small breeders, 10, 15 cows, you know, to convince them to pay what we think these bulls are worth is a challenge. Mm-hmm. But nothing beats challenges longer than longevity. And they've been in the market now, you know, selling bulls for, you know, 7, 8 years, 5 through a sale. And we're hoping today that, you know, we see some of the fruits start to happen from their commitment to it because the bulls deserve it. Yeah. So, so what's happened to this program and what the future looks like for the program because of a progressive mindset towards genetics and the ability to flat work mm-hmm. is the great combination for success in our business. And it's here in Bland. It's here in Bland for sure. So,
you know, I just recently have been introduced, even though I've been in the beef business, I've grown up in it. The seed stock side of the house and the purebred business is a completely different animal than the commercial business I grew up in. And, you know, you talked a little bit about numbers earlier and that sort of thing. But the thing that I have observed, and this could even be life advice in some way, is like Rome wasn't built in a day. Like right. The genetics, I mean, the gestation of a cow and evaluating the genetics that you have and like the science behind it, the embryos. And, you know, it's been kind of crazy. To get to learn about that side of things. From that perspective, what do you think is the most exciting thing? And we can talk Angus because we're here at an Angus sale today. But from that perspective, what's one of the most exciting things that you see on the forefront of this particular sector of the industry?
Well, what I think is the most exciting is you know, we have to meet two principles of our business. And these are these are factors. These are not right or wrong, but they're real. One, grass has to be eaten across this entire country where nothing else can run and turned into a product, protein. that instills land prices, that instills a flow of protein. Secondly, there's one segment of the economy that's never failed, and it's not going to because it's even gotten wealthier. And that is the ability for somebody to go out and not pay for a product at a commodity level, but pay for a product because it's desired. You know, you can go right now, and I'm one of these guys, you can go right now to a steakhouse and you want the fulfillment of a great meal. Mm-hmm. If it's $45 for the ribeye or $100, Chris Earle doesn't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay it. And I think the genetic capabilities of raising that animal that can still thrive in any region of the country, do what she has to do and get to that 10-year mark, maybe beyond, but also have a brother that was steered and have a 50-50 shot at being prime, mm-hmm. is an absolute genetic challenge. Yeah. And that is, I think, going forward, what the development of breeders have brought to this forefront right now is the ability to identify those animals that can do both. Very challenging. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff coming in that you have to size up very quickly. Mm-hmm. You have to make determinations if it's real, if it's how it was raised, all these things. But those possibilities are there.
Yeah.
And if you can get yourself in there, into that kind of fold, and then bring a personal component to it, because that's what seed stock is. Seed mm-hmm. stock is different from commercial because it's only one way different. The only difference is it brings the human component in it.
Yeah.
So when people come and buy seed stock, except outside of bulls, it's discretionary money. Mm-hmm. Most people spend discretionary money on one issue, trust.
Yeah.
Do they trust you? Did you raise a product that limits their risks and that they trust you as a breeder, did all the things possible, an expert that's going to help them in their own program. That's what separates the purebred and the commercial business are the same mm-hmm. in every other way, mm-hmm. except for the human component. Yeah. And that's what I love. That's why I chose seed. You know, that's why I chose seed stock. I love cows. No one likes to, you know, smoke a cigar and drink a Mountain Dew and drive through cows better than I do. But I like doing it with somebody in my passenger seat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the enjoyment for me. I mean, so, and I think those things, as we look forward in the Angus business, are absolutely possible. They're needed because there's a lot of forces out there that don't want that. They just want you to get in line, mm-hmm. raise what they want. Mm-hmm. But if you can raise quality that no one else has, you can make a great, great living in this. So
that feels like it's segueing into maybe you can give us one or two for our young farmers and ranchers, because from the West out here, we got to say ranchers too.
Well, Young Farmers Programs out West, it is called Young Farmers and Ranchers. Mm-hmm. And we just say Young Farmers. And I remember the first time I saw Young Ranchers, I'm like, wait, is that a thing? like, it's just ranch versus farm. I just love it. You can tell where someone's from.
That regional culturalism, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, with that being said, give our listeners maybe one or two of maybe your best marketing tips you got in your back pocket.
Well, I just referenced one of them, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, I'm a business 101 guy. I think at times we complicate things, and the number one part of business is to get somebody, you know, at the end of the thing, you have to get somebody to write you a check. I mean, Jesus Christ had to get somebody to write him a check. His mother did. His father did. I mean, these are all things that are needed in life, and in order to go forward. And the number one thing is to have something that nobody else has. I tell people all the time, Mrs. Earle, when she goes to town, you know, outside of groceries, when she goes to shop, she doesn't buy what she already has. She buys what she doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important when you raise a product in the purebred business. And that protects you on a branding. I think as you look at the business, I wouldn't look at it like a bushel of corn as you acquire certain pieces of genetics. It's not a stagnant thing. And I think a lot of people say, oh, I got this corn, and this is just, there's this Chris Farley, I can't remember what movie, but he's talking, and let me tell you what I do with my sale, Tommy Boy. We always laugh about it. And he's like rubbing this butt, you know, let me tell you what I did with my sale. He's talking the thing, and there's rubbing and all this. And I think that is a little bit, you know, you kind of work yourself out and you kind of destroy your sale. Mm-hmm. You know, because you treat it like a little gold nugget rather than look at the larger picture is how does this piece fit into my branding? How does it fit? You know, I might have 10,000 in it. Do I have to get 10,000 back in order for it to be a success? No, because what if you put 4 bulls and 6 females in your herd out of it, right? Now where's your 10 grand? Well, it's in 10 more head. So I think as you look at marketing, I think the two things that I look for young people, I want to tell them, and it's tough for young people to soak this in, is brand yourself. I have an idea why you're doing this. Not just following somebody, not just doing this, but have an idea why you're doing this. Because at the end of the day, people are going to buy you. That's what they're going to do. So start it early. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to go different directions. It's going to thing, but start branding and then have something that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. So those are huge for me.
As we're wrapping up here, Chris, this has been an awesome chat here. I feel like
I have tons of notes and we're not even going to talk about it because we don't have time.
I know. It's just like, we have no time. But I do, you've given us a lot of good advice here today. But one of the things we always ask on this podcast is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
So I've got two best pieces of advice. One came from the Bible and one came from my mom. And I'll start with the Bible because it directs every part of my life. Is John 3:30. And I try to take that to every business plan. I try and take it to every part I do. And that's basically, you know, more me, less you. Mm-hmm. And that directs me. That keeps me going. That keeps me, you know, trying to be humble and trying to do all those things. And then my mom told me one time, she says, every decision you make in life has a cost. And I think when you look at that, and she wasn't telling me, and this is where people kind of go off because many people have said that. She wasn't telling me not to make decisions because of the cost. She was telling me to make decisions and be prepared to pay the cost. And I think for me, that is the great Western life. Pay the cost. If you believe it or not, if you're the only one standing, if you're last man standing, if you do whatever, pay the cost. And I think that's where, you know, don't not make decisions because the cost might be painful. The cost might be minor. The cost, make the decision that you discern. I like the word discern because it's a prayerful thought, but pay the cost. And I think that's where we have to get back to. Life isn't easy, never meant to be easy, but just pay the cost. And I think for young people that want to get into this thing, there's going to be a cost. Yeah. Pay it. Yeah. Pay it and get in. So, yeah.
Wow, this has been just... this has been an awesome episode.
I feel so happy.
I know.
I don't know how else to say my feelings.
Yeah, it really is. Man, Chris, and you're squeezing us in right before you're about to go do your job.
I appreciate you guys being here. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today. Mm-hmm. And again, Chris Earle, CK6 Consulting. Take a look at that. And again, we thank you for your time today.
You guys are the best. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You can keep the conversation going on social media at Virginia Young Farmers or send us an email at vayoungfarmerspodcast@gmail.com with ideas on future topics you'd want to hear to help navigate farming, life, or both.
We can't wait to be with you again on Virginia's Young Farmer Podcast. Until then, happy farming.